Welcome to 7 Second Delay. My name's Ken. I'm here with Andy Breckman, man.
My name's Andy. I'm here with Ken. I believe that's the billing.
Oh, you're trying to give me second billing?
The proper billing.
Well, usually, you know, it's just the announcer who intros the show. I don't feel like I'm trying to usurp you just by introducing the show.
Yeah. Hey, listen, we have a live show to plug.
That's right.
When's that happening?
The 7 Second Delay Almost Amateur Hour, Friday night, October 10th at 8 p.m. We are returning to doing live theater shows from our own Monty Hall right here in Jersey City.
And what's the deal? We're looking for singers and comedians and any talent. We're just opening up the mic.
Well, talent's a funny word, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an elastic word.
Yeah, we're looking for performers.
Performers, and we're going to offer them 2 minutes and 35 seconds.
No more, no less.
Of air time. No less? You mean if they end at 1:40, it'll just be dead air?
They have to keep going.
No more, no less. Okay. 2:35.
2 minutes, 35 seconds.
And we're looking for any kind of performer. Is that right?
Yeah, although we already have quite a few sort of acoustic singer-songwriter types.
So, excellent. Yeah. Excellent.
I think we could
can't have too many of those, so let's get more of those.
We could use more magicians.
Oh, I see. You're looking for a little variety.
Live sex acts, yeah. Comedians,
yeah.
Juggling, people who play the nose flute.
People who play the nose flute. Isn't that another way of saying live sex acts?
No.
The nose flute?
The humanitone.
The nose flute?
It's called the humanitone.
Isn't that another word for penis?
No. It's a musical instrument. It's called the humanitone.
I've been calling my penis the humanitone for years.
Really?
Yes.
What a coincidence.
It is.
You know why it's called the humanitone, don't you?
Yes. So let's move on. Let's just move on. Everyone knows why they call it a humanitone, so we don't even have to go there. Hey, you know, Ken, I started a company last year.
What a coincidence. I've started a company this year.
No one cares. So my toy company is going great.
Congratulations.
I'm halfway to my goal already, financial goal.
What's that goal?
To take my whole family out to Shake Shack.
Uh-huh.
And I'm halfway there.
Good.
And I'm launching a new product today, but I can't tell you about it on your show.
I've heard a little bit about it.
Andrea's going to let me talk about it at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, I've heard all sorts of rumors on the street about it.
Yeah, the buzz on the street is really great. You know, all the cool kids are playing my app.
I wouldn't say it's great.
Cool kids are playing it.
Do you really want to know what people are saying about it?
Yeah.
They're saying that it's an app that helps you lie, cheat, steal,
yeah.
get into fights.
Diabolical.
Yeah, diabolical.
Cool kids love to cheat and steal.
Yeah.
Cool kids love to get into fights.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you all about it if you stick around after the show. If you can just make it through our show, that's all you have to do. It's the price you have to pay.
Uh-huh.
At 7 o'clock, I'll be talking to Andrea
okay.
about my new product. You won't let me. There are bylaws here, right, on the station?
Yeah, you're not supposed to be talking about it.
Yeah. Can I at least tell you where the website is to go to it?
No, which is why you just did 5 minutes on Irwin's program right before our show started.
What if I said it very quietly,
and then
the
you're
website?
And then you're going to do 5 minutes after our program ends, so you're really taking advantage of the rules.
Yeah.
It's tacky.
Exactly, but it's actually indicative of how my app works. My app is a game for people who hate to lose,
right.
like you and me.
Yeah.
The rules mean nothing to you and me. Because we're show people.
Right.
All right. Anyway, but it actually is a perfect segue for tonight's show.
How's that?
Well, I had an idea for a company, for a startup. I followed my dream.
Mm-hmm.
Down the crapper. Followed it all the way.
I'm also starting up a new business.
Yeah, good for you. Good for you, Keddie. Good for you, little Keddie Friedman. That a boy.
I actually received startup funding.
You keep dreaming, buddy. You keep imagining these things. It's fun to pretend to have startup funding.
I did.
Yeah, I know you did. It's fun. I know. Make-believe is so much fun. And
the mid-six figures startup funding.
Wait, you did?
Yeah.
Wait, how can I parlay that? How can I get a slice of that?
Oh, as soon as I mention mid-six figures, then you're interested.
So you're going to be hiring?
I've already hired.
You're going to be getting a new space?
Eventually. It is going to need a new space eventually.
Well,
right now I'm running it out of my butt.
I'm surprised there's room up there. I know the staff has meetings up there and they eat their lunches up there.
There's not much room up there.
I've already made the mid two figures.
Oh, that's right, company. The Shake Shack.
Yeah, we're going to the Shake Shack.
So it should cost you about $28 to take your family out to Shake Shack. So.
Halfway there, buddy.
All right. Good job.
And
I know that Who Tooted, your farting game, is coming to market next year. So you've got one game about lying and cheating and stealing and getting into fights, and your other game that we know about so far is about farting.
What else is life?
What's next?
What else is there to life?
That's why it's called a toy company for almost the whole family.
That's my little motto.
Yeah.
It's impolite fun. But it occurred to me, and I think you might agree, that everybody we know has an idea for a startup company.
Absolutely, they do.
Is it mostly guys or is it gals too?
It's gals too.
It's like the, I think 10 years ago everybody had, everybody was, writing scripts, right? This is like the get rich quick. This is the new lottery ticket, right? This is the new Powerball, am I right?
Startups?
Yeah, little startup companies.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can see why, because everyone is almost guaranteed to be a success. There's no downside.
I wouldn't say that.
What's the worst that could happen?
You go bankrupt.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
You go broke.
Yes, I understand.
Yeah, you mortgage your house, you mortgage your cars, you borrow all the money you can from your family, and you lose it all.
Yeah.
That's just about the worst thing that could happen.
Yeah. Okay, that's pretty bad, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't do it. That's my advice.
How much money of your own have you spent on your toy company?
Enough to probably have bought a franchise of a Shake Shack franchise. Mm-hmm. Probably. I could have actually owned my own Shake Shack. Instead, what I'm doing is counting nickels and dimes, trying to take my family to one meal there. That's how much I'm in the hole.
Yeah.
I'm one Shake Shack in the hole.
I think you're more than a Shake Shack in the hole.
But I'm having the time of my life. I'm learning a lot.
Yeah, and your wife and kids are completely behind you?
Well, they don't know the numbers exactly.
Yeah.
That's the secret. Keep them in the dark. And smile. When they're in the room, just kind of force yourself to smile and nod your head.
And say it's going great.
Yeah, look as confident as you can look. That's a big part of a startup company.
And when your wife says, so when is the money going to start coming in? What do you say?
Well, I just change the subject. Hey, look outside. Isn't that Jane Mansfield?
That's wrong on many different levels.
Almost time for Mad Men. That's what I always say. Let's watch Mad Men. Okay.
Number one, Jane Mansfield is a reference from the 50s.
Yeah.
Number two, I don't know that your wife is attracted to Jane Mansfield.
She knows when I say, hey, isn't that Jane Mansfield? She knows exactly what I mean. What I mean is, we are broke. She's not stupid.
Okay.
Okay. So listen, we want to hear your idea for a startup company, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we're interested, or we can at least pretend to be interested.
Yeah. Well, Andy has a startup, and I also have a new startup.
And we've been working all week on pretending to be interested in our listeners.
Uh-huh.
And we'd like to hear from it. And then at the end of the hour, in about a half hour, we're going to talk to a grown-up, well-respected business writer from Slate.com.
Mm-hmm. Jordan Weissman.
Jordan Weissman. And he's going to critique the best of the idea. So if you've ever had an idea for a company, we'd like to hear it.
I guess what we want is the elevator pitch, right? We want like a really short version, like much shorter than what you explained to Irwin 5 minutes before 7 Second Delay began tonight. That was not a good elevator
Well,
pitch.
That's if you're...
I got to tell you. You got to tighten that up.
Yeah. You got to tighten that up.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. I'll work on it. I have 45 minutes.
Okay.
How's this for an elevator pitch? I have an idea for an invention that will prevent you from getting beat up on elevator rides. by perfect strangers. Would you be interested in that invention, sir?
Nah.
That's a great elevator pitch.
Yes.
Instead of beat up, I should have said stabbed.
Yes, that's better.
I have an invention that will prevent you from getting stabbed on elevator rides by perfect strangers. I wonder if that's something you'd like to hear more about.
By perfect strangers who would seem otherwise perfectly safe.
Yeah. And that's my elevator pitch.
So we're looking for your elevator pitches at 201-209-9368.
Hey, if Jordan Weissman likes your idea, I bet he'll invest in it himself.
Really?
I bet he will.
You think so?
Well, on the phone yesterday, he said there's no way I'm going to invest in anything myself. But I think there's a little wiggle room there.
Yeah.
Sounds like the door is half open.
I know what he's saying when he says that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He's saying, hey, look outside. Isn't that Jane Mansfield?
Right. It's like, I am not a crook. It means I am a crook.
Exactly.
There you go.
Or all the money from this marathon will go to our operating costs.
Well, that's true, though.
What?
That's true. We have our first caller, Andy. It's Cameron. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hey, Cameron.
Bring it, Cameron.
Thanks. Thanks for listening. You love the show.
I love the show.
That means the world to me, Cameron. Hey, Cameron, do you have an idea for a little startup company?
I do. Well, it's more of a website, but I suppose it can be a company.
Love it. I'm loving it already. Kids love websites.
I actually just thought about this the other day, too, and I'm not sure in what form it might exist already, but it's basically a website where independent labels and other record labels can sign on, and there's a user community that allows people to submit their demos to the record label.
How is it different from Bandcamp?
I suppose that would be, you know, like every personal... It's more like a SoundCloud where I guess you could go and see other unsigned artists' work, you know, and if you had an independent label, you could sign those unsigned artists.
Okay, so what would you call this website?
You know, I actually just thought about it, so I don't know. I'd need help with naming it.
Okay, so it's where independent labels... How would you describe it in one... What's your elevator pitch, Ken?
Music for... Unsigned artists. Submissions for...
I see. So where demos can be posted.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. I got it. Now, the only problem I can think of offhand, and this is just off the top of my head, is no one likes independent music. It's not very good music.
Oh, no.
Have you considered that?
I think a lot of people do like independent music, Andy.
What?
Many people like independent music.
No, I'm talking about independent music.
Yeah.
Music not from a major label.
Right.
Music that couldn't make the cut at a major label.
A couple of years ago, an independent band won the Grammys. Andy.
Yeah, good luck.
Heard of Arcade Fire? They were on an independent record label.
Yeah, good luck. Good luck to both of you.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to run that past Jordan Weissman a little later. Sounds like it might be something something there, if what Ken says is true. If what Ken says is half true, I think you're onto something.
All right, okay. Thanks, Cameron.
Thanks, Cameron. So that's how it works. We're collecting ideas for startup companies and apps and websites, and a grown-up business writer from Slate.com is going to critique them, and I think he's going to invest in one of the, in one or two of these.
How much?
How much you want to bet, you mean?
Yeah, how much is he going to invest?
I don't know.
What's the minimum that he can invest?
He sounded like...
$100,000.
I talked to him briefly on the phone yesterday, and it sounded like he was naked rolling around on his bed in a pile of cash.
Really?
That's what it sounded like.
Wow.
Yeah.
So then he was
I asked him about it. He said, no, I'm at my office.
He was rolling around on change?
Yeah.
Was it jingling? You heard?
Yeah, no, I think I heard wrinkling.
I know what the sound of a naked body rolling against a lot of coins sounds like.
Oh, I know.
Like.
I know about your post-marathon celebrations. Okay, let's take another call. We're at 201-209-9368. We are collecting your startup company ideas, and we're going to do something about it. It's like a little Shark Tank thing going.
Absolutely.
Right? A little venture capitalist thing going.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Maddie, you're on the air.
Okay.
Hi, you love the show.
This will blow you away.
Okay.
It's okay, you know, like Naugahyde furniture that you zip up?
Loving it. Loving it.
It's kind of stiff, you know, on the side. It's got, you know, foam and whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But inside, why couldn't it be all your valuables? And then you could Velcro these things together that would be, you know, storage furniture, like couches.
Storage furniture.
But it's hidden storage furniture. So it's like one of those hollowed out books where you hide your cash.
Yeah,
but it's a hollowed out couch.
And you put all, like, you know, your summer clothes in there. So I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a great idea. I love that idea.
So it's a couch. It's a stash couch.
Right.
Right? It's
right,
to hide your stash.
You have your whole pornography collection, like
right.
Everything. You know, it would be, you know.
Oh, Andy couldn't fit his pornography collection in a sofa. It's way too much.
You probably need to have, like, a sofa and a love seat. And,
yeah.
You know, I don't
yeah.
know.
I would.
Andy would need a whole department store.
Okay, so it's called...
Because I go crazy every time I'm in the dollar store.
You know, you guys, you make me laugh so hard, but I just...
Okay, so it's Naugahyde furniture. Naugahyde furniture that's hollowed out where you can store your stash and your porn.
And anything, your valuables.
Yeah.
Just clothing if you live in a tiny apartment.
Yeah.
It's a great idea.
Your dead bodies.
Dead bodies. Yeah, you're always trying to take us down into the
so
gutter.
It's like hide-a-key. It's like a hide-a-key deal. It's like a hollowed out book,
mm-hmm.
but it's with furniture.
Do you have a hot...
Guys, you get me. That's why I called.
Yeah, I love it.
Thank you, Maddie.
I don't like
Thank
it.
You.
I love it.
Do you have a hollowed out book
yeah,
at home?
Yeah, I do.
Which book is it? I have one. I'll tell you mine if you tell me yours.
I bet as well.
I wonder if it's the same book. Did you make a hollowed out
no,
book or did you
But you
buy
know what
it?
I always imagined? I always imagined that there's writers out there that are told, hey, amazing news. There's a company that's buying 10,000 copies of your book. And the writer goes, really? 10,000 copies? I just sold 10,000 copies? Wait. Now for the bad news. This company makes hollowed out safes. And your book has been selected because it's a book no one would possibly want to take down from the shelf.
What book is your hollowed out book?
Oh, some kind of history textbook. What book is your hollowed out book?
Pride and Prejudice.
Who would ever reach for that?
Exactly.
There's no way a thief breaking into your house would say, hey, I got
Pride and Prejudice.
I think I'll take a minute and read a little Jane Austen.
I wonder what Darcy's up to now.
It's a perfect plan.
Yeah.
But you know what's even a better plan?
What?
If all your stuff was in your
sofa.
Yeah. Think of all the room in your sofa.
Well, that's where the thief would go first because he'd want the porn.
He wouldn't.
Well, maybe not. Maybe
I guess
not.
It would have to look like an ordinary sofa.
Yeah, that's the important thing. It has to look like an ordinary sofa.
Yeah. I love that idea. Hey, we're talking about startup companies and product ideas and website ideas, and then we're going to run the best ones past our friend at Slate.com, 201-209-9368. Hey, and stick around. In just a half hour, you're going to hear about Andy's startup company. I'm very excited. I'm launching a product, but Ken won't let me promote it on this show.
No, I won't.
I have to wait till 7 o'clock, and I'm going to be horning onto Andrea's hour.
Horning onto Andrea's hour?
I'm going to be, yeah.
like a horn dog, horn dogging it into YOY?
Yeah.
Yeah. Horn okay. Dogging, yeah. Michael in Boston, you're on the air.
Hi, I think the idiom is horning in on. And
oh yeah, horning in on. That's what I couldn't think of. Yeah.
And I also books. You want something that looks like most of the other books you have.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you know, even if you think it's a really boring book, if it looks very different from everything else you've got.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, you know, buy 12 terrible romance novel paperbacks and use one of them.
Oh no, I've got it covered. My copy of Pride and Prejudice is right next to Prejudice and Pride.
Oh. Okay.
They would never figure it out.
Okay. Well, my startup idea is a proxy server that would mediate traffic on your phone or your desktop, and it would come preloaded with some sites, but you could add them to it as well. And what it would do would keep you from making impulse buys.
Uh-huh.
So it would keep you from checking out, you know, say your shopping cart.
You mean a clock would start? You mean you couldn't buy it for 4 hours?
Or 10 minutes, you could set it.
And could you override it?
Well, no.
You can override anything, but the idea is that you're making it harder for yourself.
Well, you should make overriding it take 12 minutes. So the 10-minute delay it wouldn't be worth it.
No, you should charge.
That's an epicycle. I mean, that's...
No, added value. Charge for overriding it. You get $12 every time you override it.
Who gets $12?
This guy, Michael in Boston.
And Michael, what is your working title for this device?
I don't have one.
I think we'll call it Not So Fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's actually pretty good.
Okay.
The other one I was thinking of was something that would just completely cut off some sites like Google Analytics that you don't want your phone to talk to all the time, even though it is.
Don't those things already exist? I mean, I know they exist for web.
I haven't found a great one yet.
For web pages, it's true. I don't know one for phones, but I use I use Ghostery on my
what
web page.
What the hell are you both talking about? What are you talking about?
Oh, nothing.
You know, this guy is in absolute violation of my golden rule, my number one rule, not to put anyone on the phone that's smarter than me.
Okay. Sorry, Michael. I gotta end the call now.
All right. Thanks.
But you know, thanks for your ideas.
We've talked about this, Ken.
Yes, I know. Sorry.
Makes me feel stupid.
Right. No, I'll never. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm genuinely sorry.
As soon
sorry.
As he said Boston, you should have known.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
As soon as he said idiom. He said, I believe the proper idiom.
Did he say idiom?
An alarm should have gone off.
You're right. I'm sorry.
I knew I was in trouble. But I have to say, I like his no impulse buy app, don't you?
Not so fast, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't use it. I don't do any impulse buying, but I'm sure there are people out there.
Yeah. I think that's fantastic.
And I like his other idea about something that would keep trackers off your phone.
No one understands that.
Yeah. We're looking for your startup business ideas at 201-209-9368.
I wonder which one of these Jordan Weissman will spark to.
Danny, you're on the phone, on the air.
Hey, love the show. Can't believe I got through.
Long time caller, first time listener. Yeah. Oh, great. Hey, thanks, Danny. Hey, Danny, you have an idea for a business or a website?
I think I have a business. It's a business opportunity, I think. I think it's a product that there's a definite need for, and I think you're just the man to do it.
Well, hold on. Just hit pause for a second. Now, this guy is perfect. Okay. I am so clearly smarter than this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Do you understand how it works?
Okay, I do.
Yeah, okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Danny.
Okay, well, you know how there's coffee mugs, right?
Or coffee mugs. Loving it, mm-hmm. right?
Or coffee cups, actually, specifically.
Gotcha.
You know, the market potential is millions and millions of coffee cups are used all the time.
Absolutely.
And these fast food restaurants, they have warnings that the beverages that you're drinking is about to be hot.
Right.
But there's one group of people that they don't warn. If you're legally blind, there's nothing in Braille on these cups to tell you that you're drinking a hot drink. I'm thinking that they have a huge liability that somebody who's blind is going to spill coffee on themselves and sue them.
So you want to make coffee cups that have the warning in Braille?
Exactly.
Now, would all the coffee cups have the warning in Braille, or just like every restaurant would get a select few because there are only a handful of blind customers every day?
But you don't know who's to say what cup they're going to get.
And would the Braille...
Now that I think about it...
Danny, would the Braille warning that says warning hot beverage, would the Braille warning only pop up if it was like over 90 degrees? Is that the idea?
That would be genius. I didn't think of it that way. I think
let's see. You guys are smart guys or are very close to smart guys or you know smart guys.
I know a few.
Let's see if either of you can figure out the fatal flaw in Danny's concept.
The fatal flaw struck me right away.
Okay, I'll just review the concept. Danny, let's see if you can figure out the fatal flaw in your own concept. Sometimes that's fun. It's a fun game.
Yeah.
You want to create a cup that will say on the cup in Braille, that this cup may be very, very hot, so don't touch it. Now, let's see if you can get the fatal flaw there. It's not a hard one.
No, it doesn't say don't touch it.
It says what?
It just warns them that it's
drink
hot.
It.
Be careful.
Well, there's another fatal flaw that I was thinking of.
Oh, go ahead, Ken.
Which is that a blind person could easily tell that the beverage was too hot to drink.
Because his dog would be barking.
From the sense of touch.
Oh, from the sense of touch.
What if there's like an extra layer of foam on the cup?
From the extra sensitive.
I think their other senses are very heightened, so they would be able to tell even just from holding it up close to their lips that it was too hot to drink.
Look, I'm not going to poo-poo any ideas. I love it, and we're going to let Jordan Weissman knock that one down, right? We're going to let Jordan Weissman.
With Braille instructions.
I love it. It's coffee cups with Braille instructions. I love Braille warning. Thank you, Danny. Loving it.
Thank
loving
you.
It. Loving it.
Thanks,
we're
Danny.
We're at 201-209-9368. Hey, do you think blind people have a heightened sense of humor?
Not necessarily, no.
But all their other senses are heightened. You just said that. I'm quoting you.
Not their sense of humor. You know, their sense of hearing and taste and touch.
By the way, you're wrong. Blind people have a fantastic sense of humor.
But do they?
Yes. Because it's been heightened because they
right.
To compensate for their lack of sight.
So who's your favorite blind comedian?
I guess I'd say Bill Cosby.
I don't think he's blind.
He's blind.
No, he's not. He's not blind at all.
I'm pretty sure he's blind. He's so funny.
He's a pretty old guy and he's still not blind.
He's so funny. How could he not be blind? You clearly, when you listen to him, you clearly are listening to a man with a heightened sense of humor.
No, there's nothing blind about him. Bill Cosby is sighted.
Look, there's no way to settle this. No way to settle this now.
It can easily be settled.
How? How? I'm curious. How? How can you prove to me that Bill Cosby is not blind? Oh, I'm so curious about this.
If we can't find any evidence anywhere that he is blind, then I think it's relatively safe to assume that he's not blind.
Relatively safe?
Yeah.
Is that your threshold? Is that what you call proof these days?
Yeah.
Relatively safe to assume? Yeah.
I mean, you're trying to prove a negative, so, you know.
I had dinner with Bill Cosby last year.
Really?
Yeah.
How'd it go?
It was good.
What did he order?
Well, you know, he was reading from the Braille menu.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's blind.
I had not heard that.
Yeah. Burned his mouth on the coffee. He didn't know it was so hot.
Jeez, you should have warned him.
I should have. If only there was some kind of product.
Yeah.
No, but I did have dinner with him. He was pitching an idea for a show.
To you?
Yeah, looking for writers.
Really?
Yep.
What was the idea?
He had an idea about him. He's raising his grandson and trying to keep his grandson out of trouble.
Uh huh.
Or it's an extended family. Oh wait, or his. Let me see. His daughter.
He's had a very successful TV show.
He had, yeah, a couple. He's had more than a few. His daughter had to leave town, and so the grandfather was raising the kid. I can't remember. Can't remember. I was just thrilled to be in the room with him.
Yeah. Did he pick up the check?
We ate in his townhouse.
Really?
Yeah. Central Park West.
Was he playing jazz? He's a big jazz fan. Those blind comedians love the jazz.
I don't recall what music was being played. But it was a beautifully appointed townhouse.
I bet.
We're at 201-209-9368.
Looking for your startup ideas. In about 20 minutes, we're talking to a business analyst from Slate.com.
Let's review. Some of these are actually pretty good. Danny wants to make coffee cups
mm-hmm.
with warnings in Braille.
Mm-hmm.
He's concerned about our blind friends.
Right.
Michael from Boston, Mr. Smarty Pants. That's what I call him.
Not so fast is his one idea.
Right. It's a. It would be some kind of governor on your computer that would prevent you from impulsively buying something.
Right. And if you want to override, you have to pay the company that manufactures it $12.
Is that where they're, is that the business model?
Yes.
Okay. And Cameron has an idea for a website where demos can be posted. Unsigned artists can be posted.
Yeah, I think such things exist, but...
And Maddie?
Oh, Maddie's idea was great.
Maddie has an idea to make furniture with hidden compartments where Ken can hide his porn and his drugs.
My drugs.
Yeah. Those are pretty great, actually.
Yeah.
And we're 201-209-9368.
Andy, do you have any business ideas?
Oh, my God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Ken. First off, thank you.
You're
thank
welcome.
You for asking. Am I allowed to mention the name of my product?
Somebody call.
Am I allowed to say where to go?
Hi, you're on the radio.
Oh, really?
Yeah, hi.
Fine. Hi.
Damn it.
Expecting screening.
No,
we don't screen. No, we don't screen.
Not when Andy's about to plug his product.
Who would we be screening out? You've heard who we've been talking to.
Okay.
On what basis would we say no to anyone? Okay, what is the name of your product?
It doesn't have a name.
I love it. I love it. I love it.
Not yet. We'll give it a name.
Thanks. It's a programmable bumper sticker.
Ooh.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. How would that work?
Well, there might be some laws against it, like texting laws, but maybe you could, basically it would give messages, maybe they're pre-stocked.
Oh,
yeah, like an LED sign on your bumper.
So it would attach to your bumper.
And you could argue with other people's bumper stickers.
Right.
Oh my God, that's fantastic. You could have a dialogue with other cars.
Right.
Okay, so you could change it from an app on your iPhone. Right?
Yes.
You'd have to have a little keyboard, and there's probably state laws about.
Well, but you can. No, you don't need a keyboard. I mean, any phone has a keyboard built in, right?
No, yeah you just have a button that says that you're the passenger. You just tell the phone that you're the passenger, even though you're the driver, and then you're safe.
Okay.
That's all you got
to
do.
You mean lie to the phone?
Yeah.
Or you can just pre-program it, so you only have to press a button.
What are some messages that the bumper stickers might say?
Well, the main one that concerns me is get off my ass. You know?
Oh, you mean, if somebody is a tailgating, someone's too close.
Right. Back off.
Yeah, what's your problem?
Yeah.
What's your problem would be a very popular one, Ken.
Yeah.
I suppose you could use it for dating opportunities, too.
Let's pull over.
Oh, yeah.
Let's pull over at the next exit and settle this like men.
Or let's pull over at the next exit and hook up.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Or you know what I would do? I would say, hey, are you looking to play a new kind of app where you never lose? It's an app for cheaters, an app for people that are
like
sick and tired of losing.
And liars.
It's like the news feed around Times Square.
I love this idea. What is your name, sir?
Bob from Bushwood.
And now, Bob, would you really, if you got someone interested, if somebody said, here's 15 grand, make a prototype, would you pursue this seriously? Is this something you're half serious about?
Yeah, I'm definitely half serious about it.
Well, it's good to know. We're going to run it past a grown-up business expert and see what he thinks.
Bob, it's right up there with the stash furniture idea.
Right on.
All right, thanks, Bob.
Thank you.
Yeah. You know what I would write if I had the stash furniture and the programmable bumper sticker?
What?
You know, I would write, "Don't look in my couch." On my bumper sticker. That'll take care of everything. Because I'd be worried. People would follow me and then look in my couch.
Mm-hmm.
I could hear Nick yelling hello to someone.
Yeah. He's a good call screener, Nick the Bard.
He knows hello is one of the most important words for a call screener to yell.
Hey, in case you're just joining us, we're doing a 7-second delay almost amateur hour, October 10th, right here in WFMU's own Monty Hall. And if you would like to perform for 2 minutes and 35 seconds, please email me at ken@wfmu.org. That's Friday night, October 10th at 8 p.m. as Andy and I return to the stage.
It's going to be not just you and me. It's going to be a whole scene. We're going to have producer Veronica with us. We're going to have our producer Andrea joining us. Pat Byrne, I've invited to be a judge.
Frangry said she would come.
Frangry. So those all-star lineup of judges.
Oh, lots of great judges.
And the winner of the talent contest will get a third of what we make at the door.
That's right.
And then we're going to vote for best judge. And the best judge will get the other two-thirds.
The other two-thirds?
Of the door, yeah.
Well, I think the station should get something.
Nah, it's not going to happen. So the winner of the talent contest gets a few bucks. But most of the money would go to the most popular judge. Couldn't think of anything fairer.
That's insane.
Why? What could be more fair?
The judges are there to choose the winning performer.
But some judges will be paying more attention than others. Some judges will be more astute than others. And I think they should be rewarded. We're asking these people, these four judges, to sit through this crap. Hour and a half of crapola.
But then the judges are just going to be sucking up to the talent, and the talent is sucking up to the judges.
It's going to be fantastic.
Just a suck fest.
Fantastic, yeah. So come to the suck fest. in our new Monty Hall Theater downstairs.
Friday night, October 10th, 8 p.m.
What time does the suck fest begin, Ken?
8 p.m.
You don't want to miss it. Hey, bring the kids. Hey, kids. They're having a suck fest down at WFMU.
Pat in Philly, you're on the air.
Oh, I'm so glad you said that word first.
Hi.
Hi. Hey, do you have an idea for a product or a website?
I do, for an app of sorts.
I love it. Apps are very popular. The kids dig them.
They love them.
Yeah, especially the cool kids. What's your app?
This would sort of be jumping off of the Shazam app, but instead of figuring out songs, you would use it to sort of figure out, like, you know, lesser known character actors in films. So if you were like watching something, classic movies or like a random episode of Law and Order, and you were like, "Who is that guy?"
Oh, you'd, cool!
Like, take a picture of it.
So you need some kind of face recognition technology.
Well, I guess you would need that. Yes.
Okay. Does such a thing exist?
Sure.
Does that technology exist?
Yeah. Of course it does.
Well, it could also work from audio. It could just recognize the dialogue and tell you what movie it is and perhaps what scene it is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a great idea. That's right, Ken. But although, would it work in real life? Like, suppose I forgot someone's name, which happens all the time to me.
Yeah.
Can I take their picture and they would tell me who they are?
That could conceivably work. There's Google Image Search where you can upload an image to Google and it'll, you know, tell you who it is.
Oh, well, that would be it.
Yeah.
So it's an image search. Okay, and I think that's a great idea. And as you know, that Shazam is very popular, isn't it, Ken?
Extremely. It's like the leading driver of download purchases.
So if you're watching a TV show or movie, you record it. Maybe you don't need to actually take a picture. Maybe Ken's right. Because that happened once before. Remember you were right? It was about 8 years ago?
I remember that.
Remember you said it looks like rain?
Yep.
And on the way home it started to drizzle?
Yep.
So you just record a scene and it will have this amazing catalog memory of scenes? Is that possible?
It's possible.
Of every movie?
Yeah. I never would have thought Shazam would work, and it works great.
Pat in Philly, I think you're onto something. Thanks very much for calling.
Okay,
thanks,
man. Thanks,
Pat. Bye-bye. Hey, we're at 201-209-9368. Let's hear your idea.
And we are 9 minutes away from calling up a real business analyst, Jordan from Slate.com. And we're going to pitch him the best ideas that we hear.
What do you like so far? I like Pat's idea.
I like Pat's idea. I like
Do you like the programmable bumper sticker?
I love that idea.
Look in my couch.
I love the stash furniture.
I like no impulse buys. I have a problem with a couple of things.
I like the iPhone tracker blocking.
I don't understand that one.
Yep.
And the coffee cups for the legally blind?
Yeah.
Nah, we're going to
That's maybe. Just kind of a, that's like a practical joke idea.
Maybe. Yeah. Okay.
No, but if the Braille only comes out if it's super hot.
But that would, suppose it adds like 5 cents to every cup, that kind of thing.
Right.
Then it has the cost has to be passed on to you.
Right.
Everyone's paying 5 cents more for a cup because there are three blind people that are going to be walking into Starbucks this month?
Yeah, the blind people don't need it. They can tell if it's too hot.
And blind people don't use coffee anyway. Why would they need to stay awake? They got nothing to live for.
I thought you told me that you had dinner with Bill Cosby and he burned himself on the coffee.
Oh, yeah.
You just said that 5 minutes ago.
Okay, I forgot. Yeah. I stand corrected.
All right.
You won that one.
Adam in Brooklyn, you're on the air.
So far, you're winning this show.
Hey, Ken and Andy.
Hey, Adam. How are you? You love the show.
Yep.
You can't believe you got through.
I can't. But I want to tell you my idea.
Okay.
Okay.
It's a phone app, and essentially I have a problem with snoozing on my alarm.
Uh-huh.
Right.
So to be able to snooze, I want to set my alarm, and then there's an animated puppy, and it's really cute. And to be able to snooze, you have to, like, slice and cut off the puppy's head. And that buys you, like, 15 minutes of sleep. So, you know, you don't want to kill the puppy.
Oh, I see. You mean...
when you wake up.
You mean if you don't wake up and hit the snooze off, the puppy will be the picture of the puppy will be sliced up.
Yeah, you actually have to kill a puppy virtually, and that allows you to sleep another 15 minutes. But my idea is just hopefully you won't want to be so cruel.
Oh, I see. That will get you out of bed.
But you'll
exactly.
be.
You mean if you hit snooze, this little video of a puppy will be seen being beheaded.
Yeah, exactly.
Huh.
So that will get you out of bed.
And then maybe, you know, if you get used to that,
you
pay money to buy the next thing, which is like an animated baby.
Right, you have to rip the heart out of the baby's chest.
Yeah, exactly.
No, you want to avoid the heart being ripped out of the baby's chest.
Right.
Oh, but if you want to sleep late, then you have to rip the heart out of the baby's chest.
Right.
Get the magic key.
And I need a name for it.
It's called Baby Heart Rip.
Yeah,
right.
Baby Heart Rip.
There you go.
The Baby Heart Rip snooze alarm function.
All right, thanks, Adam.
Yeah.
Do you like that?
yeah. There have actually been a lot of products on the market that tried to help people get out of bed.
Yeah, I know. Some of them are great. Some of them have the alarm clock is in a ball that actually hops off the shelf and goes rolling around.
Yeah, and there was one that was almost like a drone where the alarm goes off and this thing flies across the room and you have to get up and get it.
Yeah, the alarm will not go off till you get up and get it. Have you ever heard of perhaps the most practical one of those is a Baby Heart Rip? Have you heard about that?
I have. It's grisly.
But effective.
You think it's a cartoon, but it really feels like you're ripping a heart out of a real live baby. The screaming and the blood, it's horrible.
Wouldn't it be more effective if instead of a baby's heart being ripped out, a picture of your mother is there?
No, some people would want to do that.
Your mother being sexually assaulted?
No.
If you don't get out of bed, that little video plays?
No, I don't like that idea. Sorry. I'd rather...
What part of that idea don't you like?
The sexual
specifically.
Assault.
Specifically.
The sexual assault part.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
That's the part most people have problems with.
Yeah.
My pitch goes fine until I get
to
that.
Yeah, tighten it up and eliminate the sexual assault part.
My elevator pitch, as you would call it, always hits a wall when I get to that part.
That's as good as the invention that'll help you get not knifed by a person, by a stranger in the elevator.
Yeah. It's a service I provide that keeps people from getting knifed by strangers in elevators. The service costs $10. Would you be interested, sir? That's my elevator pitch.
Oh, Sasha, you're on the air.
Hey.
Hey.
Hi, Sasha. Thanks for calling.
It's Sasha. Yes, that's my first name.
You love the show.
I love you. I love me. I love life. I love the show. Long time lover show.
We love you, Sasha.
Hold on, just one second, Sasha.
One
second, Sasha. Give me one second.
It's Sasha.
Oh, Sasha?
Yeah, oh, Sasha.
I've never been more frightened in my life. Have you heard?
This is great. Oh, Sasha, you're scaring the hell out of Andy. Please go on.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Calm down, Andy.
You're asking me to calm down? Okay.
But to say that the very simple, the chinchilla or mink farm may be salmon.
A mink farm may be what?
Salmon.
Maybe salmon.
Or maybe salmon. Okay, I got it. I love it.
And mink, you know, they don't have so much in this country. It's
right.
Very good.
Yes, very good.
I wish you well. Goodbye.
Wait, oh, that's
okay.
The idea?
Thanks, Sasha.
Oh, so it's a mink farm or a chinchilla farm.
Right, or maybe salmon.
Or maybe salmon, because these things are...
they're harder to get here.
Yeah, there's sort of a... A lot of people are uncomfortable.
Salmon farming.
With the
big business.
Mink coats and chinchilla coats.
Yeah.
They're not much in demand.
Right. So you farm them. You raise them.
Like, and it sounds like Sasha would love to help you on that farm. So you're not only going to make money, you're going to be spending time with Sasha.
Can't get any better than that.
A little slice of heaven there on your mink farm.
All right, we are going to call Jordan, the business reporter.
Well,
in
we have one more call.
Let's
take one more idea.
Our last
idea. We've heard some great ideas. Hey, at 7 o'clock, I'm going to be Andrea's special guest.
Oh, really?
I know fans of Andrea are sitting there going, wait, what the hell? Wait, hold on. Is he serious?
Are you
going
to be talking about dating and sex and stuff?
Is that what she talks about?
Yeah.
No.
No? Oh, why not? That's what the show is about.
I'm going to be talking about... I'm going to be derailing her show.
Oh, I
almost
see.
From the very top. She's letting me talk about my new little business venture.
Uh-huh. Oh, Uncle Andy Toys. I've heard about
Andy
it.
Uncle Andy Toys, yeah. And she's being very generous.
Oh, that's the company that has the farting game coming to market.
I think I'm going to be talking about ethics in apps and creating apps.
Cool.
And it'll be interesting.
All right, Matt from Springfield, you're on the air.
Hi, Ken. Hi, Andy.
Hi, Matt.
Hi, Matt. Glad you called. I'm not being sarcastic.
First-time listener.
Thanks, buddy. First-time listener. I love it.
Since you don't read the comments, I'm here to relay it to you now.
Okay, great.
Okay.
It's a variation on the alarm clock idea.
Uh-huh.
You only have a regular alarm clock that beeps when it's set, but if you try to press snooze, it changes into the sound of a baby wailing, possibly even a colic baby wailing.
Oh, a baby crying.
Yeah,
because you don't want to put up with that noise.
Right, that's a good idea.
Yeah, that's right.
Any tempted to maybe try to stay with the beeping, head off.
Right.
I would
try to hit that.
I wouldn't want to meet the person that could sleep through the sound of a baby crying.
Exactly.
But for these things to work, there has to be, you have to be able to unplug the alarm. I mean, not be, there has to be no volume control, no mute button. You can't unplug it.
Yeah,
right?
You override it. Override all that stuff. All right, we got to call Jordan.
Yeah, very excited.
Thank you, Matt.
All right, cool. Thanks.
So I wonder if Jordan's been listening. Probably not. He's going to be hearing these for the first time. I told Jordan, Jordan has some kind of new blog or podcast that he wants to plug.
Oh, cool.
Jordan Weissman.
Oh, hi, Jordan. This is Ken and Andy on WFMU. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for calling up.
Well, thanks for giving us a few minutes of your time. I don't know if you've been listening to our little show.
I haven't, thanks.
Oh, man, I envy you that. Oh, what? God, good call, by the way. You're already showing good taste. Jordan, we're reaching you in your office at Slate.com. What is your title there, and what are you tell us about yourself?
I am Slate's senior business correspondent, which means I put words about the economy on the internet. That's pretty much the. And aside from that, I also am one of the. I'm on the Slate Money podcast, which is something I do with Felix Salmon and Kathy O'Neill every Saturday.
And, oh, great!
So I do a little bit of broadcast on the side too.
So if people want to tune into that, that's at slate.com, and they'll find it there.
Yep, you can go find us on iTunes, find us on Slate every Saturday, find us on SoundCloud. We're all around.
Don't think I won't.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
Sure, and I'm guessing, given your position, people are coming up to you all the time, and telling you their ideas for apps and new businesses.
Well, so yeah, I mean, you do get a pretty constant stream of email and proposals from people about, you know, the newest app that's, you know, the thing that's going to combine your, like, somehow hook Instagram into your refrigerator, into your, like, you know, into your, you know, smartphone, into your car keys, all in one, who knows what.
And now, do you have
it's sort of like, you know, there's just a, it comes every day, and you learn to filter a lot of them.
And
out.
Do you have the heart? Do you have the heart?
Compelling. You go, hey, what about that? You know.
Now, do you have the heart to tell these people that they don't have a snowball's chance in hell, or are you more polite about it?
I'm usually pretty polite about it. I will say this. There was a short period where it was really jerky of me, but I started writing back to some PR people telling them what I thought they were doing wrong. And, like, in retrospect, it was just like, it was uncalled for. It was completely uncalled for, but it was just something I started doing because I felt like, you know, there was someone needed to say that you know, your pitch was kind of preposterous.
And do they hear you when you say that, or does it, I don't need, because when people critique me, I just kind of shrug it off.
Yeah, you just tune out.
Yeah, I just tune out. I go
PR
to SeaWorld.
People, I think they just have a sort of invincibly sunny demeanor. just like you can't,
even if I know
they kind of project that, and then maybe in private they're just like you know jerk. But
even
you know,
if they're batting averages,
they're talking to you, they're like, oh well, you know, how about this and how about that. So.
Well, Jordan, for the last 45 minutes, we've been taking ideas from our listeners and callers, and we're wondering if we can share some of the better ones with you. And you honestly give us your assessment.
Just your gut little assessment. We're going to give you what Ken's been calling our elevator pitch. You've heard that.
Okay, the elevator pitch. Sounds good.
You've heard that pitch. Should I tell them my elevator pitch?
No, because you're doing that after the show is
this
over.
Would be, well, no, I'm talking about my insurance offer on
okay.
the elevator.
Yeah, fine.
This would be a service that I'm offering, and if you buy it, it would help prevent you from being stabbed on an elevator by a total stranger.
That I feel like
wouldn't
I can't
that be
refuse?
Yes,
that.
Costs $10, right. And it's available now.
Am I allowed to refuse to cover this you know, business?
I don't know
this,
what happened.
Is this more? Am I being told to cover this business?
To me, it's the perfect elevator pitch. Okay, but here's some other things that we've been hearing over the last hour. What we have Bob from Butchwood. He has a dream for a business. He has a product. It would be a bumper sticker. That I guess would be programmable or controllable from your iPhone. You put it on the back of your car, and you can type out messages that would appear on the back of your car.
Okay, so I can sort of see. You know what? I can see that doing well for a day on Kickstarter. I'm like, so it's basically a customizable license plate. Like it's a customizable bumper sticker.
Yeah,
right. Change every day. Yep. Right.
Well, no, not change every day. Change in real time. For example, you can have a dialogue, literally a dialogue, with another bumper sticker on another car.
Okay, you could have, and so theoretically, you could also, if you were a passenger.
Yes.
Because I don't want to encourage anyone to,
right.
you know,
good
to
point.
Type while driving. But if you're a passenger, let's say, you could
right.
type whatever, like, instead of flipping the bird to the guy behind you who's, like, tailing you, you
right.
could also send him a message that way.
Exactly.
Right?
Would you,
you
now, yes or no?
Customized messages that, like, back off or something. Or
exactly.
Thumbs up or thumbs down? You would say that's worth pursuing?
I think that this could do well on Kickstarter.
Okay.
I don't know if it would get VC money, but I think that you could crowdsource this one.
Now, how about this? It's something that you would attached to your computer or laptop or phone. Is this an app? This not so fast. It would prevent you from impulse buying something. It would prevent you from buying something until 10 minutes had passed.
But Jordan,
like
here's the revenue
idea.
Model,
I,
though.
That's not a bad idea. The thing is, I'm going to say is I think I could swear to God I've heard actual companies that are doing something similar. So the guy's got his head in the right place. But there is like a whole wave of businesses along this line that are supposed to give people little nudges, essentially, to kind of try to make them behave themselves.
Okay, so it's not new territory. Okay, so that's a thumbs down. How about this one? And this is from Maddie, listener Maddie. This would be a line of furniture. She said Naga Hide, but I don't know why it has to be Naga Hide.
Doesn't.
Looks like ordinary furniture. Jason, you're familiar with the hot. You're familiar with books on your shelf that are hollowed out. That actually are hide little places to hide valuables.
Yeah, I'm not going to say what I've hidden in those books.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Well, this would be that idea writ large. It would be furniture. It would be a couch that is hollowed out, large enough so the space in your couch is large enough for the dead landlord you killed or your porn collection.
I'm going to say the dead landlord. Is
yeah.
not appealing to me in the pitch, but well, maybe okay, it's a little appealing. But
well,
anyway,
you must have a great landlord.
What I will say is I think that there would be a market for there already is a market for, usually a Target for furniture like ottomans and stuff that you can open up and there's
stores. This would be stuff
so
that
you if you had a whole company. I don't know if a whole company like that.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if you're quite. I don't know if you're quite.
You could definitely. It's a line. Especially to like a New Yorker who has no space. Like if you
To a
chest.
The stuff you get at Target, though, everyone knows that there's a compartment inside. This would be a couch where you'd have to maybe figure out, you know, there's a secret combination or there's a secret way to move the cushions to get inside.
Okay, so it could double as just normal storage.
Right. No one would know. No one would know that. It's good
so
for people that
to ship something in that couch. You might also be able to do it.
Great use for it. Great.
I'm gonna give it a thumbs up. I feel like to me, I don't know if it screams entire company, but I'd be. I think it is compelling. I am obviously thinking about it right now.
I knew that was a million-dollar idea.
I'm not written it off. So this company is compelling.
You know who would like that idea? People who buy drugs. would love that idea.
Who buy extremely large quantities of drugs.
Okay, and
Time
for one more. Here's one. It's kind of like Shazam. It's an interesting app. You hold it up and you take a picture of a character actor or an actor on a movie or a TV screen, and it tells you, it has a face recognition technology. It does an image search, and it tells you his name.
I'm going to, on the one hand, like this would be a wildly downloaded app if the technology existed. I'm pretty sure like everyone would download it and use it once. That said, I'm not feeling monetization here, and I'm feeling like Google's just going to come and Bigfoot you on it. So I'm going to give a thumbs down I'm sure there are a lot of people who just like are going to use it on like Steve Buscemi that one time and then never again.
All right,
that's
Jordan.
True.
Jordan, thanks so much for your time. And what's the name of your podcast again?
Slate Money Podcast.
Okay. Slate Money Podcast.
I'm going to have my assistant listen to it next week.
Thank you for that much.
Jordan, thanks a lot for your time tonight.
And thanks to Andrea for arranging that. She's still taking care of us.
And thanks to Nick the Bard for call screening and Veronica for her help. And don't forget the 7-second delay Almost Amateur Hour, October 10th. If you would like to perform for 2 minutes and 35 seconds, please email me at ken@wfmu.org. This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, online at wfmu.org, and in Rockland County at 91.9 FM. Stay tuned next for YOY with Andrea and her very special guest.
I can't wait to hear who that could be.
Be like any clock. My All right, this is WFMU. You're listening to YOY Radio. I'm Andrea Salenzi, and I have a guest on my show that requires no introduction if you listen to WFMU, but
wait
definitely
a minute,
requires
an
introduction for some of my listeners.
Yes. Andrea began by saying, Andrea just seconds ago warned me that her listeners will not know who I am.
Not all of them.
Yeah.
Some of them discovered this in the iTunes store where they can discover other great things.
All of my listeners know who you are. But
I was your producer for 8 years.
Yes, exactly. And that's right. You sort of cut your teeth at FMU on our show. And this is kind of surreal. But actually, it feels great to be a guest on your show.
It was my gateway drug for WFMU.
It was your gateway. Your gateway drug. Oh, my God. Now,
yeah.
Wait. Now, how many years ago was it when you first started calling our little show?
I was in college. It was 8 years ago.
Oh.
I called up. I became your volunteer blogger. You almost got me kicked out of college.
We corrupted you because you were so nice about everything. You didn't say no to anything that we
threw
at you.
We set a world record together.
I don't recall that. What was the world record?
Most guests booked for an hour-long radio show.
Oh, of course. That's radio
it's
history.
Like second line in my bio, Andy.
Fantastic. Oh, I'm so glad to be here. When did you get your own show here?
It was right after yours, so
okay.
You probably remember that it was November of last year.
And what kind of things do? You play music?
I say it's where love meets technology. It's like about dating and technology.
Oh, fantastic. How's that working out for you? Are you loving it?
Oh, no, it's amazing. I didn't realize how much fun it was to have listeners. I know you hate and despise your listeners, but I really like mine.
Have you ever met them in person?
Yeah. And we email and, you know, meet for drinks. I'm really a fan of, and then they become guests on my show, and it kind of feeds the process. It's wonderful. But what should folks know about you?
What's that like? What's it like being such a good person? What should they know about me? Well, what should your fans know about me? I didn't realize I didn't appreciate I have to reintroduce myself, but I've been at FMU. I've had a show for about over 20 years. I've been co-hosting with Ken Friedman, and you're right. We have the time slot just before yours, of course, and by day for most of that time, I've been writing comedy and TV. I've written for Saturday Night Live and David Letterman. It's pretty obvious I'm a very, very funny man. That's pretty obvious.
Yeah, you wrote one of the greatest SNL sketches of all time, the White Like Me sketch.
With Eddie Murphy. Yes, that was me. That was a lifetime ago, it feels like. And then I went on to do movies and TV series and things like that. And then last year, though, I began to feel burned out, and I began to kind of yearn for something new. Have you ever had that feeling? You're in a job, and it just didn't feel like you were home. It just didn't feel like you were being satisfied, and you wanted to try something new.
You know, I really...
Can you give us an instance of in your life?
I just love continuing to be challenged and continuing to learn new things, and, you know,
running for mayor? That's the safest answer I've ever heard. Fantastic. Well, anyway, I decided a year ago to start, God help me, start a toy company. And I did. And it's kind of scary, although these new startups, they're like what writing scripts were 15 years ago. Everybody's doing it. It seems to be everybody's sort of golden ticket. Everybody thinks that it's the way out of the jungle.
So what was that like when you first went to your wife, Beth, and you said, I have this idea. Are you okay? Like, has she been supportive from
the start? It's so funny you said that. And I think it's understandable. My wife... And all my kids, I have a number of kids. I've lost count. It's like five or six, but all of them were understandably skeptical because I'd been making a good living writing and doing something else. And so they all promised that if I ever make $1 million, if I ever net $1 million with my toys, that they would all go on what I'm calling the apology cruise. And I would take my profits, and I would book us all on a cruise. This is my wife and my older kids. And the first night of the cruise, I actually fantasize about this. We would go to the dining room. We'd all sit around the table, and one by one, we would go around the table, and all my children and my wife would take turns apologizing to me for doubting me. That's my fantasy.
So now, what's the version of the apology cruise if it doesn't work out?
Well, if it doesn't work out, I'll take everyone on a cruise, and the whole dinner will be me telling everyone they were right.
Good.
And I should have known better. But anyway, I'm here tonight, and you're being so generous with your time. I can't even imagine what your listeners are thinking. Oh, let me apologize to them. Should I be talking about, like, girls I met and, like, girls I dated once?
No. You know, dating is a lot like what you're doing. You put yourself out there. You have this, like, idea of what you want, but you don't really know what it's going to be like once you start doing it. And
then you settle for me.
Yeah.
Well, that's like dating.
You can feel. Well, it's like, yeah, you just have to try something to know if it's going to work or not.
Gradually lower your standards.
Yeah. You have to be a little insane to do something like this.
You know, it is like dating in a lot of ways. You're absolutely right. Because to launch and build a successful company, you have to be able to pivot and change your goals and look realistically at who you are and the world around you and what. And you're absolutely right. And I bet people that are successful at dating, I bet it translates. I bet they are often successful at this as well. Because I use a lot of the same life skills.
Yeah. No, I think just the sad.